and welcome to A Public Affair on KGNU. I'm your host, Phoebe Donovan. Today my guest is Crystal Maldonado, author of young adult fiction and social media manager, whose debut novel, Fat Chance Charlie Vega, was a Cosmopolitan Best New Book and a Pop Sugar Best New Young Adult Novel. Today we'll be talking about her new novel, No Filter and Other Lies. Crystal Maldonado, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Can you first share a brief overview of what No Filter and Other Lies is about?
Sure. I'm still terrible at pitching this, so I apologize in advance.
No worries.
So this is a young adult story that follows 17-year-old Kat Sanchez. So she is a photographer and she is kind of obsessed with Instagram. So when we meet her at the start of the book, she is yearning for that appreciation on social media that I think we can all relate to, just the desire for someone to see us.
Yeah,
and when she doesn't get that, she decides she's going to take matters into her own hands. And she starts to catfish people as this whole new identity that she creates. And she finally gets that clout that she's always been chasing, but at the detriment of her real life. And so we kind of watch as she's juggling this fake life that seems perfect and her real life where she's, you know, dealing with her queer identity. She's dealing with family, like complicated family dynamics. She's dealing with drama with her friends. And, you know, what does that all mean for her as she keeps up this lie?
You seem to have a love-hate relationship with social media yourself. In your opinion, what are the positive and negative impacts of social media in our society?
Yeah. So as someone who has worked as a social media manager for maybe about 10 years now, I feel like I've been able to see some of the really wonderful aspects of it. I love how empowering it feels. I love that it gives a voice to people who don't typically feel like they have a platform. So those aspects are really important to me. I love how it connects communities who sometimes have a hard time finding one another. So for me personally, when I was growing up, I never saw, you know, fat or plus size bodies, and social media was that bridge for me. It's what helped introduce me to the body positivity movement, and it helped me find other people like me who just wanted to, you know, talk about their struggles or talk about their successes or share a really cute outfit they were wearing. So all of that I love, but the other side of it is I feel like it adds this layer of pressure to our day-to-day lives that we maybe didn't have as much of before. So as we're scrolling through our feeds, it's really hard not to feel like we're inadequate or worry that everyone else has their lives together and we're the only one struggling, right?
Yeah, so
there's, I think, a balance that we have to strive for, but we're not quite there. And it takes a lot of effort to sort of remind yourself just of how, you know, social media is just the highlight reel of someone's life. And it's okay if you're looking at it lying on your couch while eating some Doritos, because it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I definitely think there is that aspect of like comparing yourself to people on social media. Studies repeatedly show that the majority of people compare themselves negatively to others on social media. And even before social media, negative body image issues were a problem in society. And since the start of social media, they've only like skyrocketed. So
exactly. It's hard, I think, to be scrolling through, you know, you're just going on Instagram. You're like, I want to see some pictures of my friends. But in between all of that, you're getting served all these ads and you see, you know, celebrities and their bodies, and it skews our perception of what's real and what's not, especially when a lot of the photos are perfectly curated or photoshopped or facetuned. It just makes us forget about what's real and what's fake.
Yeah, exactly. Can you share a bit about why you chose to talk about this important issue in your book?
Yeah. So a lot of what I was kind of reading and hearing about social media in general was just that it was bad. And I felt like we needed to have a more nuanced conversation about it, or at least try to. So that was kind of what I was trying to go for in the book, was to show that it's not really all good or all bad. It's sort of how we as users decide to make use of social media. So in throughout this book, of course, Kat makes some not so great decisions. Yeah. And she doesn't use social media for the best reasons personally. But then we also see that juxtaposed with the fact that she works for an animal shelter and she manages their social media platforms. And as part of that, she gets to save these dogs' lives and be part of that amazing feeling. So for her, even within just like this one person's life, her experience with social media is all over the place. Like yeah. She's doing this amazing thing and also this terrible thing. And so I just wanted to, I think, talk more about what can we do in our own lives to make it better? And how can we have a healthier relationship with it and recognize that what we see is not always something we should take at face value?
Yeah, no, that's great advice. Thank you.
Thank you.
For listeners who may just now be joining us, my name is Phoebe Donovan, and I'm your host for today's A Public Affair. My guest is Crystal Maldonado, author of the newly released No Filter and Other Lies, a young adult novel about a girl who uses her friends' photos to get recognition on social media. It's about secrets and friendship and first love and discovering who you are. In No Filter and Other Lies, the more successful that Kat, or her alter ego, Max, becomes on social media, the less time she spends with the real people in her life. Do you think this is a common side effect of social media?
I do, at least based on what I have sort of experienced myself. I think that you can certainly have a healthy relationship and you can find that balance. And that's always what we're striving for. But I also think that when we are making content, and let's be real, the photos and videos we put up, they're content, right? Like it's not as authentic as maybe it once was.
Yeah.
We can get consumed with this idea of, oh, I have to set up a beautiful backdrop, or I have to make sure things look perfect. And in all of that editing and setting up the photo shoot and thinking of the perfect caption, mm-hmm. that can eat up a lot of your time. And so sometimes the scales kind of shift and suddenly you're not just spending time making the content, you're analyzing it, you're thinking about the data, you're comparing, okay, well, this photo to this reel, and what does that all look like? And so I do think in Kat's case, it became this just like all-consuming feeling where she was so validated by the likes and the interaction she was getting online that suddenly her real life wasn't as appealing. And so she just didn't want to spend the time, you know, dealing with her friends and really confronting some of the issues in her real life, because it was easier to just escape into this digital world.
Mm-hmm. And Kat felt a pressure to have like the perfect life. Where do you think that came from?
You know, I think this is like an age-old pressure that we've experienced forever, regardless of kind of what generation we grow up in. I think, especially when you're a teenager, it never really goes away, honestly. You look at other people, you look at their lives, and you do this comparison, and you say, okay, they have XYZ. Why don't I have XYZ? Or how can I have XYZ? So in Kat's case, that just manifests itself on Instagram because it's there. It's what's at her fingertips. It's what she's on every day. But it doesn't happen the same way for everyone. Like we see, she has this group of friends, and for her friends, they don't care about social media pretty much at all. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what fuels her frustration. She's like, I care so much and nobody wants to follow me, and you guys don't care and you have all the followers. But I do think that there can just be this pressure to just compare yourselves to other people and to worry about what they have versus what you have. And I think it comes out of really feeling insecure with yourself. And when you're not totally confident in the choices you've made, or you're just, I don't know, you worry you're not pretty enough, or you worry you're not thin enough. And that's kind of where Kat falls into this trap of, if I could just make the perfect life, I'd be happier. But really, it causes her so much more grief than it's worth.
Yeah. And you think, like, that most people feel this way? Like, the pressure to...
I do. At least probably not as severely as Kat does. Yeah. But I think to some degree, we all feel that pressure in some way, right? And yeah. Sometimes it's just fleeting and we're able to kind of move past it. But sometimes it lingers. And for some people, you know, they're in their 40s or their 50s or whatever, and they're still comparing themselves to other people. And so it's about finding what works for you and what makes you feel good and what makes you feel confident. And once you can start to appreciate what you have and the life that you have, then the external validation doesn't matter as much. And we definitely see that with Kat once she realizes, oh, maybe I have a pretty good life and I can appreciate, you know, the friends I do have and the family that I do have. It may not be picture perfect. It may not be what, you know, society or media tells me I want to have or should have, but it's mine. And so once she learns to appreciate that, then she can let go of some of that comparison. And I think if we can do that in real life too, then we'll be much happier for it.
Yeah, that would be great. I agree. in relation to this and like with the rest of No Filter and Other Lies, mm-hmm. How much did you draw from your own experiences?
Oh, that's a great question. So I definitely drew on my experiences with social media here. And that played a huge role in just the nuance of it and looking at, okay, here's how it can be good. Here's how it can be bad. But I also drew a lot on my own personal family dynamics. So when I was growing up, I grew up in a household very similar to the one Kat did. So she was raised by her grandparents and I was also raised by my grandparents, but my parents lived right down the street from us and with my little brother. And because I grew up with that kind of interesting family dynamic, I really wanted a character to mirror that and to share that with me. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a teen, I was so worried people would find out this, you know, this thing about me and think, oh my God, what a weirdo. But really, a lot of us have, you know, non-traditional family dynamics and non-traditional family makeups. And that's part of what makes us us. And so the more we can show that through books and through, you know, television and movies, I think the more comfortable we are when we grow up in a house that's not, you know, mom, dad, 2.5 kids and dog and yeah, realize exactly. That that's okay.
No, definitely. Often in books or movies, characters have one major issue that they're dealing with. But your characters had to navigate several complicated issues at once, mm-hmm. like sexual orientation and coming out, messy friendships, complex racial dynamics, and painful family relationships. Was this an intention to make your characters more well-rounded and realistic? Or was it just driven by the storyline? Or
well,
both?
I think it was a little bit of both. For me, I feel like none of us deal with just one thing at a time. I wish we did, right? Like that would be so much easier if we
definitely.
Only had one thing, right? So part of the idea of trying to make this story feel real was to have all of these things intersect at this one time in Kat's life, because that's just like our real lives. And so, you know, we think going into this book, oh, it's a girl and she's going to, you know, catfish. And so it's about social media. But then, like you said, there's these other things we watch as she kind of falls for a follower who is a girl. And up until this point, she had thought she, you know, Kat was like, oh, I'm straight-ish. Mm-hmm. And then she, you know, falls for this girl and is like, oh, wait, I actually think I'm bi. And what does that mean for me? While also dealing with, you know, her friends who say she's pulling away from them and she's not being honest with them about her feelings. So having all of those kind of intersect at once, I think or hope, provided a sense of, God, this feels frustratingly real. And yeah. Here's how this character is dealing with it, for better or worse. And hopefully makes readers feel a little comforted if they have multiple things that they've got to worry about at the same time. Because Lord knows we sometimes just feel so lonely. Like, God, I have 10 things that are plaguing me right now. It's so unfair. So if you see this character, maybe you feel less alone in that sense.
Yeah. No Filter and Other Lies is very funny. How do you think humor can be a tool when talking about difficult topics?
Well, first, thank you. That's very sweet of you to say. So I use humor a lot when I personally am coping with things. It could be something small or it could be something big. It's how I start to process things. So I like to have that levity in the young adult stories I'm writing, because I like to read stories about characters who are, going through something, overcoming something, dealing with a problem, but that can be really heavy, right? So if she was dealing with her queer identity and also her lying and also her messy friends, and they never had moments of joy, or there weren't moments that kind of, took off the steam a little bit, then I think it would just be such a heavy and difficult read. And I also think that it wouldn't have been as realistic, because for me, sometimes I have these, situations that make me feel really overwhelmed or they really upset me. But then one of my friends will send me a really funny meme, right? Or my dog does something super cute and I'm like, oh man, I'm in a bad mood, but my dog is so adorable. So to have that mix for me is really important. And especially because this is a book for teenagers. So I don't want to depress my audience. I want there to be a little something for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's important. What are some challenges that you had while writing the book?
So I wrote this book during the pandemic, and it was early pandemic. So I wrote this mostly in 2020. And I, like everyone, I had such a hard time transitioning to this virtual world and not seeing people in real life. I'm also a mom. At the time I had a baby. She was about 8 months old. And so we had no childcare. And so I was working full time and parenting full time with my husband and writing a book. And it just felt like so much.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
It was. So that was one of the biggest challenges, was truly just letting myself be creative and trying to tap into that when I felt like I was so much in survival mode every day. I'd wake up and I'd think, oh, here's another day of Zoom meetings while also the baby's crying. And so that was really hard for me. But the other side of it was also some of the story beats. So talking about how Kat did grow up in this household with her grandparents, and she sort of had this yearning for a quote unquote more normal upbringing with her parents. That was something I sometimes felt when I was younger. And now that I'm older, I look back and I'm so grateful for how everything turned out. But it was sometimes tough to revisit those feelings that I felt when I was, 15, 16, 17, and put those on the page. And it ended up being really cathartic and it felt good. But, when you're in it, sometimes you're like, oh no, I'm 16 again and I'm really sad about this.
Yeah. A big generational shift is that young people now enter their dating years in a largely online environment. How important do you think it is to have literature and other media that sheds light on this new reality that primarily young people are experiencing?
To me, it's so, so important to have this reality reflected back at you, right? So if you're a reader, you want to read about experiences that are similar to yours, and you want to read about experiences that are different from yours too. But there's something very validating seeing a character kind of have their relationship develop on social media when that's primarily maybe how your relationships are developing too. And I also think and hope that books like No Filter can maybe shed some light with some of the older readers who didn't have this experience. Mm-hmm. Now they maybe understand a little bit better that, just because you meet someone online doesn't mean they're not real. It doesn't mean the connection's not real. I grew up during this time where it was like the internet was like, you never tell anybody about yourself. You never share your real name. You don't do anything. It's like the internet is full of strangers and stranger danger and blah, blah, blah. And it's a totally different world now. That's not true at all. And some of my closest friends I made through, you know, places like Tumblr or on Twitter or wherever. And so I think for me, being able to show that these relationships and these feelings are every bit as valid as someone you might meet, you know, at a library or at school or whatever, that's important to me. And I think it's important for readers too, to know that their connections matter, and it doesn't have to be something that happened organically in a place, you know, outside. It can happen online, and they matter too.
Yeah, I think that's really important. What do you want readers to take away from reading No Filter and Other Lies? Like, what are the main things?
Yes. So I think part of what I want readers to take away is just this feeling of it's okay to mess up and to make mistakes, even if they're big ones. Because I think they're, as part of, like, we've talked about the pressure of social media and just this feeling of always having to know the right thing to say and the right thing to wear and the right thing to do. And that's unrealistic. We're going to make mistakes. No matter how old we are, we're going to do things we're not proud of. And part of, I think, growing as a human is acknowledging that and kind of being able to grow from it and move on. So if readers are able to sort of recognize that in Kat and her story, because I know she can be really frustrating at times, but to know that she makes a mistake and she grows because of it. If readers see that and can root for Kat, even though, you know, she did this bad thing, then I hope they're able to sort of turn those feelings inward and give themselves the kind of grace and ability to learn and grow from their mistakes too. That is truly my biggest hope. Just like, be nice to yourself. You're trying your best.
I think that's a really great message.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you so much for speaking with me today, Crystal. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. This has been so fun. And I can't thank you enough for the wonderful questions.
Oh, yeah. And I just wanted to say, I really enjoyed your book. It was really good.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you just made my whole day.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yes.
My guest today has been Crystal Maldonado, author of the new book, No Filter and Other Lies. I've been your host, Phoebe Donovan, and you are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.